The last 24 months have seen an unprecedented assault on our nation, our economy, our freedoms, our elections, and upon truth itself. So how is it that the enemies of freedom have done this? Well, they can thank the mainstream media and big business who subjected us to this outrage and also subjected RFK Jr.'s best-selling, truth-telling book, The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health to a media and retail blackout. The publishers have turned to us and sponsored the Freedom First Network for help to fight the media's assault on truth. So now we enlist your help as followers of the Freedom First Network and ask you to buy The Real Anthony Fauci. Find the trackable link below in the article that gives us credit for your purchase and your commitment to truth. So buy this book today and buy a copy for a friend or family member. Join in the fight against this unprecedented assault on our way of life with a book that will educate you and others to be effective activists to defeat this totalitarian tyranny. The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. Get this book and buy it with the link below. Thank you, and God bless America. Bill McIntosh Show, now on with Sherry Few. Her last name may be Few, but she doesn't have few words to say about how education for our kids is being absolutely hijacked, subverted, and taking America off a cliff unless we stand up and do something about it, which Sherry Few's organization, USPI, is doing. That's the United States Parents Involved in Education. Sherry, what is your website, please?
Our website is USPIE.org, USPIE.org.
Fantastic. Okay, folks, check it out. To give background on Sherry, you know, she's president of United States Parents Involved in Education, Parents Involved in Education. That's the PI part of USPI. And it's an organization that shines a strong light on the leftist indoctrination of America's children by teachers in schools across the country. The response of parents against things like critical race theory and what the left would call gender affirmation or the LGBTQ grooming agenda to recruit and pervert kids has been explosive. USPI is also involved with a film that we want to talk about, a documentary that's called Truth and Lies in American Education. That is a documentary that shows how parents are taking back the education of their children. I mean, this is an important, vital activist activity for somebody to be in. You know, it's really important. This is the future of our country, and it's in the hands of the parents of America, unless, of course, we just delegate it and cede it to, you know, people in the teachers' unions and the leftists, Marxists, doctrinaire types who are trying to basically take America over one child at a time. So, Sherry, welcome to the Bill McIntosh Show. Tell me how bad it is right now regarding Marxist indoctrination, K-12.
It is really bad. And so I live in South Carolina, which is considered a red state. And you wouldn't think, and of course, all school districts deny that critical race theory is actually happening, but I have done research. And while it's not called critical race theory, it goes under the guise of social emotional learning or culturally relevant pedagogy, which is even worse than critical race theory because it encompasses all of the Marxist ideologies. So let me just be clear on critical race theory. So critical theory is Marxist in its roots, and it came out of the Frankfurt School in Germany. And when the Nazis ran them out of Germany during World War II, they moved to New York State and Columbia University and infiltrated the colleges from there.
The expansion of the U.S. money supply in 2021 is unprecedented. In fact, in the past 12 months, 40% of the entire U.S. dollar supply since the beginning of the American Republic have been printed. That's right. This is absolutely unprecedented. This is reckless. This is foolhardy. And this tends to be inflationary. So what can you do? Hey, do what you can now to be able to protect the value of your assets and of your dollars. That's why I like to bring up
www.ourgoldguy.com. That's www.ourgoldguy.com. Ira Bershadsky is the man, and he's the person that we've come to trust. He's got extremely competitive prices. He's extremely reliable, and he's somebody that many people on our platform have seen that he delivers consistently and reliably. So keep in mind a couple of important points. Precious metals have been around as a store of value since biblical times. Since the dot-com boom in 2000, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has gone up 2 times. Now, during that same period, gold has gone up 4.5 times. From 2016 to 2020, gold and the stock market both went up. Historically, when the stock market, the U.S. dollar, real estate, and similar asset classes have gone down in value, gold has gone up, cushioning the downside and, most importantly, preserving your capital. When the stock market drops 50%, it has to double to get back to even. If a percentage of your portfolio is in gold, it may cushion the downside and potentially you will recoup your portfolio value quicker. During inflationary times, like now, gold has increased in value as an inflation hedge. So folks, check out www.ourgoldguy.com. And remember also, precious metals is not just gold, but it's also silver. That's an industrial commodity. Investors have invested in silver when they feel that there will be an economic expansion. There's a lot of demand for silver. So folks, go to ourgoldguy.com. It's very reliable, very competitive, and it's a great company. Ira Bershadsky is the person that we deal with, and he's somebody who's very professional and extremely knowledgeable. So go to www.ourgoldguy.com and tell them that Bill McIntosh sent you.
So it's been rooted in the colleges for some time, and we know post-secondary has been, you know, taken over by the left long ago, but now it's creeping down into the K-12 schools. And so there's several critical theories. Critical theory is when you pit groups against one another. So there's critical race theory, critical feminist theory, critical queer theory. So culturally relevant pedagogy, which is what they're using in the K-12 schools, encompasses all of these theories. So on one side you have the oppressors and the other side are oppressed. So the oppressors are generally, the way they describe it is, white, males, heterosexuals, and even Christians are considered oppressors. And then on the other side, the oppressed is every other race and ethnicity, LGBTQ, they say women are oppressed also. I don't feel very oppressed, but nonetheless. And then what they call minority religions are oppressed. So
wow, minority religions. What, pray tell, are minority religions?
Well, of course, Islam and, you know, anything that's not Christian, you know, they're oppressed. And Christians are the oppressors.
Satanism?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So, Wicca.
Right, exactly. And, you know, they actually have satanic clubs in government schools. It's allowed. So, yeah, it's definitely there.
All right. Well, you know, one thing that's really, I consider one of my, I don't want to say pet peeve, because this is not a case of, you know, traffic jams in the morning, no, or potholes. But this is just something that's terrible, and that is the hijacking of our calendar, kicking off Christopher Columbus on the U.S. calendars, recognized in schools, taught about in schools, now under the title of Indigenous Peoples Day. Now, the story about Christopher Columbus and Columbus Day in the United States has a lot to do with the fact that the largest mass lynching that took place in America was actually against Italian and Sicilian Americans. That took place, some of them maybe were not citizens at the time, but it took place in New Orleans, where my father was from. May rest in peace. My grandmother was of Italian descent. It was called the Dago Riots, and it ended with 11 or 12, Italians and Sicilians being hanged. And the shame after that event was so great that I believe it was Grover Cleveland, or one of the presidents from the late 19th century, decided, got together and said, we have to have a day to recognize Italian Americans. And it was Columbus. And here, what do you have? You know, you're from South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina. You have, you know, Columbus, Ohio, District of Columbia. The spaceship command module Columbia on Apollo 11 that went to the moon. Colombia used to be a term that really was emblematic of another way of saying the United States, but they've taken that and they kick one ethnicity off the calendar in favor of another. So what's that? That's insanity, right? What are you doing right now also about that? Is that a topic that you're focusing on a little bit as well?
Well, yes. In our film, which is what we're talking about today to promote The Truth and Lies in American Education, we interview two book authors who talk about the fake history that's being taught, unfactual, incorrect, and biased history. And children are actually being taught to hate America. And I think we're the only country in the world that doesn't teach their children to be patriotic. It's very sad, and it's an intentional agenda. So along with the Marxist critical race theory, you know, we have this anti-American propaganda in government schools. And it didn't just start. This has been happening for some time. When my children were in school, I noticed it in the textbooks. And that's what motivated me to start the nonprofit organization, Parents Involved in Education. At that time, it was South Carolina Parents Involved in Education. We expanded nationally in 2014. So in the film, we address the inaccurate history, the fact that they're teaching children to hate America. We address critical race theory. We address the sexualization of children, which is absolutely happening in government schools. And one of the people that we interview is a lawyer who started a child parents' rights organization. And it's a nonprofit legal organization that defends parents. And so we interview her about how she's defending families where the schools have gone in and tried to influence what's counter to the child's biological gender and without parental consent. So that they're counseling them and even providing drugs in some cases for a child to be transgender and even very young children. So this is what we address in this film. These are shocking pieces of evidence of what is happening in government schools with our tax dollars. And, you know, fundamentally, we should be very concerned. Now, even if we don't have kids in government schools, people need to be aware and be active on this issue, because what is at threat is our very freedom as a country. Because, again, the agenda is the end goal with CRT and the anti-American stuff, the sexualization of children, the end goal is communism. That's exactly what they want for this country, and it's an intentional agenda, and that's why these Marxist theories pit groups, people groups, against one another, because they know a country divided will surely fall. And so that's what we're facing, and that's why this is such a critical film, and the timing couldn't be better.
Okay, let me ask you a question about USPI. How many states are you currently active in?
We have 20 state chapters, and it's growing. It's growing because parents are waking up, and they're seeing this stuff. And I think they're seeing it mainly because of COVID. You know, they shut the schools down, and there was the virtual learning going on, and parents finally had a chance to see what their children are learning.
They started to hear what teachers were saying on Zoom sessions, right?
Exactly, yes. Yes. And there's evidence all across the country. Like I said, even in red states like South Carolina, it is absolutely happening. They will deny it, but we have to get the evidence out there for the people to see so we can put a stop to it.
Right. One of the things, by the way, that's happening, I believe, and you can probably say that you've seen it as well, is Planned Parenthood is really into the transgender agenda. And why is that? Because, hey, this is another revenue stream. Abortion's drying up. So what do? They get these, I don't know, these encounters, these visit a clinic, and they talk to kids, girls and boys, about gender issues, and they get them on puberty blockers if they find a way they can do that and get away with it. And so that's a big, big business. And they want it across America. They want kids to be confused into this endless pit of self-doubt and you know, present and future destruction of their basically their calling to be mothers or fathers, you know? So, so let me ask you a question. What is it that people can do? How does the activist fight this stuff? Because we see it, it's like an engulfing tide, and we feel really, honest to goodness, we feel like we're, you know, overwhelmed and unable to fight it. They've got their agenda and they're aggressively pursuing it. How does activism play out on our side to help effectively?
Oh, that's a great question. And that's what our organization is all about. So I mentioned that we have 20 state chapters, and our goal is to have a chapter in every state within the next 2 years. And so the reason that's important is we have to be able to influence Congress. And our leadership team took a trip to Congress a couple of years ago. And our mission, by the way, is to close the U.S. Department of Education and end all federal education mandates. And why that's important is a lot of the nefarious pedagogies come from the federal government. You know, most states only receive about 10% of their education budget from the feds, and yet they control 100% of the classrooms. You know, they incentivized Common Core 10 years ago with federal funding, and now critical race theory through the COVID funds. So that's what our mission is. But when we went to Congress, what we learned was congressmen don't care what you have to say if you're not a constituent. So we need constituents all over the country to influence Congress. Now, obviously, right now, with, you know, after the presidential election was stolen and then we lost control of Congress, there's not much effort that can be made on the federal level. So what we did when that happened was we kind of drew back and we said, we need to work on the local level, empowering parents, equipping them so they can take their schools back. And that's what's happening. All across the country, parents are running for school board, and it's really an exciting movement to see. So these same parents, like the ones in your backdrop there from Loudoun County, those same parents tried to be shut out and their voices, you know, shut down, they're saying, baloney, I'm taking your job, and they're running for school board. And we have a couple of really good trainings. I know Heritage Foundation just came out with a school board candidate training. So we're doing all we can to equip these parents to take back their schools, because it really belongs, the control belongs with parent and local communities, and we have to get the federal government out. So that's what we're doing.
Right. So, okay, let me ask you a question. So you teach people how to protest or give them tips or approaches, strategies?
Well, what is it? If they go to our website, we've developed several resources. You know, some people come into this that have never had any political involvement before. So they need a roadmap. So we have described for them, you know, how your school board interacts, what the authority that they have, and just kind of give them a guide so they understand the process. And so, yeah, we're equipping them. We have lots of videos and not just our resources. We've posted other organizations' resources on our website, because there's a lot of good stuff out there that will equip parents who are probably novices when it comes to political activity. And the other thing that's really important about local school boards is they need an alternative training. Because what typically happens is once you get elected, you're a new school board member, you're required to go to some sort of training, and it's usually some sort of union or trade association that's very liberal, and they don't tell you the truth about the power you have as a school board. There is a new alternative. My friend Kelly Coles is with, Moms for America. Yeah, they have hired her to provide an alternative training for school board members. So that's really important too.
Well, there's something that I saw, one of the bullet points that was prepared, was that there's something called the workforce development system that's deployed in every state. You know, I've heard about this. I think, you know, kids get out of high school, they get a really good job and all that. What's problematic about this?
Well, I'm glad you asked about that, because that's one of the issues we cover in the film too. And by the way, let me just say, people can go to the film's website, truthandliesfilm.us, to learn more about this documentary that'll be released at the end of this month. So workforce development is something that was put into law back in the 90s. There were three laws that were passed that created this. And it came from, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Dear Hillary letter that was written by Mark Tucker. But just before, it was Governor Clinton at that time, just before he took office as president, Mark Tucker wrote a letter to Hillary Clinton describing this workforce development model of education. And that is what our country has today. And it is actually, you ought to look it up because it's a great letter and it's historical. It's in the congressional record. So what it does is it's an attempt by the government to control the economy. And so there are workforce development boards set up regionally across the country. And those boards are made up of educators and the business community. And those boards decide what the jobs are going to be for the next, say, 15 years in their region. And then those jobs are filtered in through the education system. So a child, when they're in sixth grade, is surveyed. And based on the results of that survey, the school begins to pigeonhole them into a career path. Can you imagine that? Sixth grade, they're already deciding what career a child will have. So then by the time they get to high school, then they have to declare a major, which used to be in college, but now in high school, you declare a major and all of your courses are aligned with that job path that they began you on in sixth grade that these workforce development boards created. So it's very problematic. And again, it's an attempt by the government to control the economy, which we know has been tried and failed in other countries. And, you know, we no longer focus on core academics and allow children, their families, and their faith communities to nurture God-given gifts and make decisions about their future. And they're even replacing, in some cases, high school diplomas with these certificates of completion so that you're certified in a particular field. And so, first of all, how can they predict what the jobs are going to be in 15 years? They're really just trying to fill the corporate roles that are needed. So it's corporations and government pigeonholing children into particular career fields.
Right, they're like, you know, human resources, like raw material in a sense. I mean, so when this is going on, what's the involvement of parents?
None whatsoever. None.
It's like behind their back, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody has fallen for this whole term of workforce development. I mean, the Republicans, all of them, they think, oh, well, yeah, that's what we should be doing, getting kids ready for the workforce. You know, they replaced Common Core standards with a title. They're just rebranded as college and career ready standards. So it's like you either go to college or you go into the career we put you in. So it is the government making decisions about the future for the child without the parental involvement whatsoever.
Sure. So then, okay. Yeah, I'm kind of appalled at how bad things have become. Something that my viewers know, but you don't know, is I actually live outside the country. I'm an expat American. I'm from New York, but we lived in Florida a long, long time. Then I ended up becoming an expat. We moved to Peru. And now of my six kids, four are in the United States, two recently discharged from the armed forces. My son, Nicholas, who's a Marine, was a C+ student in high school, right? So his recruiters thought, you know, this kid is probably going to be like, he grew up in a third world country, probably is having challenges with 2 + 2 = 4. Well, it turns out he ended up getting in on the ASVAB in 93 out of 99. And they were astonished. And here it is that this is a kid that, I had to put him in remedial math training with tutors and things like that. And it was opened up to him to do anything in the Marine Corps, anything, any job. Pretty much that came up with some exceptions, but basically any of the more difficult career paths, intelligence, air traffic control, whatever, was open to him. And the same with his brother. He didn't get a 93, he got a 98, and he could do anything. But again, this is with third world schools, right? Supposedly. But it shows you, pardon me, the astonishment of the recruiters shows you how poor expectations are, you know, given what you know, America is held up as the model, right? As the yardstick for everything. But it turns out that third world countries are outperforming America all the time. So that if your kid is pigeonholed into a career track that has to do with, let's say, film or media, then he or she is not going to get mathematics anymore, probably. Or what's going to happen in that respect? If they, on a whim, they say, oh, wow, I want to do something different. You know, I want to be working the arts, you know, what's going to happen regarding their education insofar as, you know, mathematics is concerned or critical thinking?
Right. So what if the child even decides to move to another region of the country where, you know, the job he was trained for isn't available? So the whole idea of the purpose for education being preparing them for the workforce is a failed notion. It's a flawed notion. And what we should be doing, which worked for hundreds of years and even centuries, is teaching children with a liberal classical arts education, which is well-grounded in all the core academics. And then they develop themselves to, well, they are developed to be thinkers. So they can think on their own, not taught what to think, but how to think. And so that's what's missing in America's education. And it's been stripped away over the last few decades. And it's just become just blatantly in your face, crude. And so, you know, it's been the frog in the water thing and people didn't notice it happening. At least some people noticed it. I noticed it. That's why I've been doing this for 20 years. When I used to talk about workforce development, 15 years ago, I was the tinfoil hat woman. But now everything I've been talking about, people are plainly seeing. And they've gotten so bold now, you know, with the critical race theory and all of this garbage that they're teaching children. We have to return to a good classical education and then allow families and individuals to determine what their careers are going to be based on, you know, their God-given gifts, as I've mentioned before.
Right. And the parents have to be involved with that because they're the ones who are basically entrusted, you know, with the children to begin with. And they're the ones who have the most skin in the game, but they're being totally shut out. Tell us about some successes that you've seen with USPI across the country that show that activism at a local level can, in fact, make a huge impact and result in positive change in education.
Well, I think I'll go back to the school board races because we have seen some success in those areas. In South Dakota, for example, where we have a strong PI chapter, they ran a slate of candidates in Sioux Falls, and they took over their school board. And those parents were like-minded. They ran together on a slate. And one of their themes was the American flag. They, every time they appeared and did things, they had the American flag, you know, signaling to people that they were patriotic and conservatives. Because, you know, even in some schools, they don't do the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. And you know the whole
How common is that habit of not using the Pledge of Allegiance?
I think it's very common. And, you know, we've seen with collegiate sports how, you know, taking a knee and, you know, in South Carolina, our women's USC women's basketball team won the national championship a week or two ago. And the players wouldn't even come out of the locker room during the national anthem. And so, and I see that as a direct result of the indoctrination that's happening in government schools. So it's starting in K-12, and then in the college and universities, it's far worse. So we're educating young Americans against their country. And it's so sad. And it's so sad. And these women basketball players and the coach are like, idolized in our state. They did a big thing for him. They did a parade and everything in the Capitol. And I don't understand why people aren't upset that they wouldn't come out for the national anthem.
Yeah, it's beyond shocking. It's disgraceful. So, I mean, this is a time for an all hands on deck call to get involved with education and, you know, at a local level and to make an impact, because it's our country's going down the drain. And I don't know what Communist China's involvement with it is or what, but, you know, they're delighted to see America crumble. They want to see America just basically become a manageable vassal nation. And it's up to us to be able to fight that. I mean, it's America. I've never seen our country more up for grabs than today. Never.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It is a critical time in our nation's history. And that's why this release of this film couldn't be more timely. So I encourage your viewers to go to truthandliesfilm.us and learn more about the film and sign up to be notified about how they can view it. It will be released the very end of this month. And we're doing interviews like this to build the audience. And we need this film to take off like wildfire. And it's going to educate people. It's going to motivate people. And then we're going to encourage them to join the movement by going to our website at uspi.org and signing up to become involved with the chapter in their state, or if there's not currently a chapter, to start a chapter in their state. So we can develop a grassroots army to fight this, to save our country.
Amen. So folks, it's www.uspi.org. That's www.uspi, like what you eat, apple pie, uspi.org. Sherry Few, thanks a million for being on the Bill McIntosh Show. Godspeed to you, your organization. We're going to carry the trailer on this episode, and we have to have you on again. Joaquin Fernandez, he's the person behind the film, right?
Right. He's our producer, yes.
Great. So then I spoke to him. We want to have him on again and want to have you on again to talk about USPI and the great work that you're doing. Godspeed to you, and thanks again.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.